It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Steel Curtain Network.
Pittsburgh Steeler fans, and it's time once again for another episode of the Steelers Week That Was. My name is Brian Anthony Davis.
And I'm Dave Schofield, and the triumphant, dynamic duo, that's what it is. I almost was thinking we were Thursday night. The dynamic duo is back. Brian, I was by myself last week. It was there. I held it down, but it just wasn't the same without you, buddy.
Well, I appreciate that, and I thank you for giving me some time off on some of the weekends. Everybody's working for the weekend, and sometimes I do that too and want to just indulge in family time and fun time.
Yeah, and that's really what it's all about. But we're both here. We can get this done this week. So let's dive into the week that was.
You know what?
Yeah.
No OTAs for us, but plenty for the Steelers, and we're going to be talking about that. So let's do it, my man.
All right. So, of course, we got to start on Sunday, last Sunday. That's what we do every week here. There was a report of the Steelers working out another XFL player from the Guardians, a defensive end, Stansley McCormick. Bonga. Okay, maybe I got that one right. I have no
Stansley
idea.
Maponga, baby.
Okay. Nothing materialized of that this week, but anything you want to say about that one?
Yeah, work out everybody, I tell you. Don't let any XFL stone unturned. Even Dwayne The Rock Johnson, bring him in.
Yeah, well, you know what? The Steelers, I assume defensive end there, that was edge rusher and not defensive lineman. That's one thing that bothers me with that position. Because of the Steelers running a 4-3, you never really know when they say they're a defensive end which one they would be. I wish they could just get it all straight. But if not, then what else would I look up during my 3 seconds of spare time I have each day to figure out what position these players are doing? But that was really it from Sunday. But Monday, the Steelers are continuing to shape the roster. And this one was interesting because – The Steelers were at 89 players, so they still had another one to get to 90, so they added another player and dropped three. So it's like, okay, there must be a reason here, but the Steelers added linebacker, I'm going to mess this one up, Toby Ndukwe, I think I got it right.
Yeah,
I like that. That's who they added. He was a player that they had in for the rookie mini camp. I'll be honest with you, Brian. I tried to do an undrafted rookie free agent profile on him. There was nothing. There was no video. There was no, there was no, I could find stats. I couldn't find any breakdown on him. But hey, the Steelers saw him. They liked him. But at the same time, they released Tay Crowder, Emeka Egbule, and running back Master Teague.
And we really thought that they were going to be doing something with one Tay Crowder and Master Teague. We thought they were both going to have a chance. Master Teague was hurt early on in training camp last year, never got a chance to shine, won't get a chance to shine again until they bring him back.
Yeah, and to me, I was bringing up Tay Crowder because he was such a mystery, because he was on the Steelers' 53-man roster at the end of last season, was there for the last 2 weeks, was inactive both games, and that just could have been, you know, he wasn't acclimated enough. So I didn't know, maybe the Steelers saw something there that they were interested, or maybe they didn't. Well, guess what? We didn't even have to wait till training camp. We found out they didn't. So that's what it was. Moving on. There was some news that I found impressive, and I was very grateful to hear this. But this came on Monday from the Pro Football Writers of America. They named three people that received the 2023 MPFW. Why did that come up with an M? Sorry. Let me get it there. Start over. You want to know why I said M? Because the last name of all three of these guys starts with an M. Let's do this again. 2023 PFWA Dr. Z Award. This is for recognizing coaches of their career that were longtime assistants, not head coaches, and giving them award. One of them, well, I'll just say it was Wink Martindale, Bob McKittrick, and most importantly, the recently retired John Mitchell.
Bob McKittrick is deceased, so he gets this posthumously. We know that Wink Martindale is now with Giants. It's a fantastic award. This needs so much more publicity. I love this. Dr. Z, of course, Paul Zimmerman. If you're a fan of Sports Illustrated in the 80s and 90s, you knew who Dr. Z was. He did the all Dr. Z team for football. He was a big football guy. Love this award. Fantastic.
Yeah, so congratulations to Coach Mitchell. He was honestly, he was one of those forgotten coaches by the fans. He was never front and center of someone that was that the Steelers fans could really see or hear from very often. I mean, he was the assistant head coach. When he stepped back a little bit, it was to no longer be a specific position coach and just be the assistant head coach. He was so respected by those players with Pittsburgh over the years. Coach Mitch, enjoy retirement. You deserved it. 29 years, I believe it was, with the Steelers.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So kind of hard to move on from that because I could talk about Coach Mitchell for a long time. But there was also the, do you call it the owners' meetings or the league meeting? What do you affectionately call when they get together and talk about these rules and stuff?
I think it is officially the league meeting. I call it the owners' meeting.
Yeah, because that's what they used to call it all the time. But they had some things there. I did multiple articles on this. I did an article that summed up everything from the first day. And then also something that happened the next day on Tuesday. But just to highlight a couple of them, the third quarterback rule, it's coming back. The third quarterback dresses, but technically is on the inactive list. They have to be on the 53-man roster. And they can only come in if both quarterbacks are out of the game due to injury or technically disqualification.
Yeah, I really love this rule. And by the way, this is why Mason Rudolph is back in Pittsburgh. I truly believe this rule needed to happen. That NFC Championship game was a joke. It was terrible how that played out.
The big question I have about that is, is it going to go away because they want something else before it actually comes up again in 20 years? Because my goodness, I think it only ever happened one time when they had it before. And that's why they took it away. But then when it happens in a really big game, you had a feeling it was coming back.
Yep, absolutely. And I really think that, you know, we've really haven't seen it with the Steelers, but you always get worried when you see a backup in there, and especially if one guy gets hurt, you know the defense is coming. You know they're coming after you, and they're definitely going to try to scare your backup quarterback more. If he gets hurt, what are you going to do?
And usually teams are going to be in a rough spot to win with their third quarterback. I think the Steelers have one of the better situations if that were to happen. But that's my own personal opinion. But at the same time, even a player that I've never heard of that's in a quarterback in the NFC Championship game would have been better than seeing Brock Purdy only be able to hand off the ball or Christian McCaffrey trying to throw deep. So for that reason, you know, trying to make the best product you can, that's why they figured no harm, no foul with that one, really.
Yeah.
One that I think is harm and is foul is flexing Thursday Night Football. Now, it's a very small window, very stringent requirements, things of that nature. Roger Goodell says, I don't even think it'll happen. But they're leaving the possibility open in case there's just a real potential dud on the schedule, but they'd have to know about it a month in advance. They'd only have a certain amount of games they could flex in, but still the whole idea of it sounds terrible.
To quote Screech from Saved by the Bell, the infamous Lisa Turtle fashion show episode, I hate it. And that's all I have to say about this. This is terrible. At least the Steelers were one of the eight teams to vote against it.
Yeah, they did. They voted against it. And the Steelers cannot be flexed into another Thursday game because they already have two. The only thing that could happen is they could be flexed out. But why would you not have the Steelers on Thursday Night Football? They could be 0 and what week is that they're playing the Patriots? They would be what, like 0-14 or 0-13 going into the game? And Steelers fans are going to watch. You know, they're not moving that one. That's not going to happen. They're not going to be whenever. I would take that bet that the Steelers are not going to be 0-whatever at that point in the season. But ultimately, they're not flexing the Steelers out of there because anytime someone can get the Steelers on their network in a prime game, they're going to take it because that's the kind of fan base they have. And they also are a type of fan base that should be able to have their city host the NFL draft, but that's not happening anytime soon because the 2025 draft, which will come obviously after the 2024 draft in Detroit, the 2025 draft will be in Green Bay.
Okay, this is actually fantastic news for Pittsburgh Steelers fans, and let me tell you why. I know you said it doesn't seem like it's going to happen anytime soon, but for me, if Green Bay is able to handle the hotel rooms to host this event, Pittsburgh definitely can. And Green Bay is a classic football city. They're going to want to put it in Pittsburgh. So based on this, this opens the door for Pittsburgh. I love it.
Yeah, and that's one of those things that you have to look at because it's a little bit more difficult when it comes to the Super Bowl because the Super Bowl 60, that was just awarded to – I'm sorry. I can't say that it's San Francisco. It's going to Levi's Stadium. It's – my goodness, it's 40 miles from San Francisco is where the stadium is. So, but that's where it is. It's a newer stadium. Apparently, 40 miles outside of San Francisco still has enough hotel rooms and everything. So that's just how we've got it. What do you think of the Super Bowl 60. So not XL, we're talking Super Bowl LX going to the Bay Area.
I don't care. Yeah, you know what? I love West Coast Super Bowls because there's more light in the game.
Yeah, I mean that simply is what's going on. I'll be honest, yeah, I like dark Super Bowls, but that's just me. But really the lighting is probably one of my least concerns when it comes to Super Bowl.
Yeah, I like it though. I like the light.
Yeah. Well, my other thing is, did you see Super Bowl 40 was on this week? It was on at least once on NFL Network. And I of course watched some of the best parts of it. And I'm just like, yeah, I don't care about the lighting, but
yeah,
I
hate dome Super Bowls.
Yeah. You know what? I hate Super Bowls that don't have the Steelers. So I think that's fair.
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah, we'll go with that. All right. So to finish out, what is this? We're still on Monday, right? This was one that I put out there for the rest of the staff at behindthesteelcurtain.com. Yes, that website still exists, so you can check it out. And that was former first round draft pick of the Pittsburgh Steelers, Artie Burns, free agent. Not anymore. He's going back to Seattle on a 1-year deal.
Hey. I tell you what, he's resilient. He's sticking around. He's getting a payday. The guy's putting together a nice career for not being that good.
Yeah, I mean, good for him. I know he came from a tough situation, really liked the guy and what he was doing for his family and everything. It just didn't work out for the Steelers with everything. So let's move on to Tuesday. Steelers had another player visiting. This was Marcus Golden, outside linebacker. Let's not talk too much about this now. We'll hold that one off for a little bit, don't you think?
Yeah, it's the fact that they continue to open the door and bring guys in, and that's a good thing, because when you brought in the guy from the Jets last week, you know, everybody thought he was going to be signed. They even thought he was going to be signed on Monday when they made all those cuts. And the fact that they are not just jumping the gun and going to go ahead and sign a guy, they are looking around, they're bringing guys in. This is something that did not happen before, so that's why this is good news.
Yeah. So we'll get to that more, because we don't want to jump the gun too much. You know, they got a visit. Then the question is how that follows up. But there was another rule that came out from owners' meetings. Some people are really upset about this one. Frankly, I'm fine with it. And that is, if the receiving team on a kickoff decides to do a fair catch inside their own 25-yard line, the ball comes out to the 25-yard line just like it was a touchback. What this is doing is it's taking to where the kickoff team would be able to force you to return the ball. Now it's no longer in their hands. It's now back into the receiving team's hands if they choose to return the ball or not. I know a lot of people don't like it. I'm fine with it. What do you think there, Bad?
Just get rid of the kickoff already. That's what it's leading to.
No, they're not getting rid of the kickoff. They can't do it. They can't. You know why? Because they won't get rid of the onside kick. They have to leave that element of the game that the team that just scored has a chance to get the ball back and win the game. If the ball just automatically goes to the other team after a score, then where's the drama? Where's the drama? And then people still want the 4th and 20. I think that's a terrible idea. Yeah, so the only reason they still have the kickoff is because of the onside kick.
I kind of like the 4th and 20 thing, to be honest with you, but until the Steelers get burned with it. But, you know, why don't you just go ahead and put everybody on the kickoff team in those Bud Light sumo wrestler plastic outfits? Because that's what this is coming to. I mean, really, at this point, the safety of the game is one thing, but my gosh, come on.
See, and now if you're saying 4th and 20, I would much rather see a 4th and 2 on your own 3-yard line. Yeah. Go build it up.
I love that.
Yeah. You only have to get 2 yards to keep the ball, but if you don't get it, the other team's got it inside your 5.
I love it.
And that's why teams wouldn't go for it otherwise. Because, I mean, think about it. When they did that 4th and 20, 4th and 15, they did it in the Pro Bowl back when they played that one year. They went for it every time. No one kicked it off. They went for that every time. So just to do it, because it was a game that they didn't care about. But that whole getting rid of the kickoff.
Can't do it.
No. So I understand. And people are like, oh, it's all about player safety. They'll do any player safety they can that doesn't affect their bottom line. They've already said that they don't care about safety when it affects the bottom line when it comes to Thursday night football. That's already been established. But if you're talking about player safety that doesn't cost the NFL money, they will definitely try to implement that. And what single play has more concussions than any other play in football? The kickoff.
Yep.
That's why. So there's a reasoning behind it, whether you like it or not. So I'm sorry, we're spending a lot of time on this, but I've got to ask you this. I think they've been trying to, how do I say it? This is all about wanting teams to not want to return the ball. That's why they want to make it easier to kick it into the end zone. They're wanting kickoffs to not occur. They're wanting teams to be incentivized by not doing a return. Because to me, almost it felt this way, that more often than not, if a team could have taken a touchback and they chose to run the ball out, you would see a flag for the most tickiest, tackiest thing that you could have to be like, oh no, if we try to take it out and then there's a penalty, we're pinned really deep. And it seemed like they were more anxious to call penalties on kick returns than anything else to try to just keep teams from wanting to even bother. That's the conspiracy theorist to me. I'm not a big conspiracy theorist, but I just felt that that was one of those that gets there. You could tell me how I'm foolish, Ben.
No, I don't think you're foolish at all. I mean, I think there's a lot of conspiracy theories. I really feel that if you go ahead and look back at the whole pass interference review thing that they botched, you know why? Because it didn't matter whether they looked at it or not, whether it was a good play, they didn't overturn stuff to almost protect the refs.
Yeah, and I'll go, well, they did that after the refs got lambasted for overturning that one again with Pittsburgh and Seattle, which was a terrible overturn. It would have been a bad call if they would have called it live. The fact they overturned it would have made it even worse. But to me, I always say, if any time a review goes to New York and it's really close, you can almost guarantee that the ruling will go in favor of keeping the game as competitive as possible.
Yep.
Whether to keep the team from getting too much of an advantage, of too much of a lead, or if a team's down by a bunch, it'll help them to have a better chance to come back. That's what you're going to get when it goes to New York. That's just my opinion. I know what most of you are probably thinking about me because I said that.
You are, with all due respect, dumb.
And that's okay, because that's just that's just one of those ones that I'll continue to say. Let's get back on track here, Pat. How about Aaron Rodgers favoring his ankle coming off to the side during their OTAs up in Jetland?
All I'm going to say is this just seems like some kind of weird cosmic karma thing.
Yeah,
that's it.
Yeah, just, you know,
I snickered at this. I don't
off season champs. No, sorry.
I don't like anybody getting hurt, but I snickered at this.
Yeah, that's just one of those things. Or do you think he really was hurt, or just guys like Aaron Rodgers don't want to be out there during OTAs anyway? Yeah. But speaking of OTAs, Tuesday was the day it started for the Steelers.
Yay!
That's
what I'm gonna say.
And we talked about it on Thursday on the preview about football and shorts. Football and shorts is better than no shorts, and football and shorts has to happen before you can get to football and pads. So that's why I say bring on football and shorts. There were some various quotes afterwards, like Channing Sullivan was said that he got to play with the ones at nickel. Kenny Pickett comes in at like 13 pounds heavier, according to him. Kevin Dodson talked about the additions of the other guys at guard. Anything about that you want to hit on? Or
the Channing Sullivan thing, I think it's great. Now's the time to make sure everything works out. You know, try him. See if he's good. If not, don't keep him. Kenny Pickett, this guy is going for it. He's already won over Ben Roethlisberger now, so now he's going to try to win over everybody else. I think this guy is in it to win it. And Kevin Dotson, yeah, you're feeling footsteps. You know, you're hearing footsteps, excuse me. You know, when you heard that Sam Alu was signed and nobody called you, yeah, I mean, you have something to worry about.
Yeah, you made me remember of a classic Three Stooges episode. Shh, quiet, I hear footprints. You gotta love it. We're halfway through the week, so guess what? Now's the time to take a break. So if you're here with us live, but no one's here with us live, bad. It's just you and me. So stick around. We'll be right back after these messages.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
All right, Steelers fans, here we go, rolling through the week that was. We are now up to hump day on Wednesday. I'm sorry. That commercial never gets old, even though it's really old now, isn't it?
What was it? Mike, 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 Mike. you know, there's like, mm-hmm. it was hump day, Mike. Now I got to YouTube the commercial.
Well, with the camel. Yeah. I mean, I mean, is the caveman even still around from those commercials?
I didn't like the caveman one.
Yeah. But. So, that's all right.
ABC even tried a caveman sitcom.
Oh, I was like, So, all right, let's roll into Wednesday. Now, I don't think this happened on Wednesday, but the Pittsburgh Steelers on Wednesday put out a congratulations to James Daniels from his wedding. I'm not sure exactly when it had happened. It was a picture of him and his new wife. Congratulations to the Daniels. If he got married on Wednesday during OTAs, that's all right. But whenever the ceremony actually occurred, congratulations.
I think that would have been great if he did do it during OTAs. So congratulations to Mr. and Mrs. 78.
Yes. And that's right. 78. Yeah. 78. Okay. Very good. Of course, if there's a jersey number, you're going to know it. How many 78 jerseys do you have now?
Oh, I only have Villanueva, but I would like to have, I would definitely like to have a James Daniels one, but I'm going to start clearing out because I'm going to start giving some to my nephew.
Yeah. Mo, my question is there a Steelers jersey you wouldn't get? Other than Mike Mitchell?
Yeah, I was going to say the one Jeff always accuses me of having, and I did not have a Mike Mitchell. I'm not going to go back about 10 years and get an Hebron Fangupo number 92 jersey or anything like that. Yeah, really, no. I mean, I'm probably not getting a Dan Sepulveda. I'm not getting a Jordan Berry. I would actually do that just to, you know, tick off Jeff. Actually, I would buy it for Jeff first, but he would never wear it. He's never worn my Mason Rudolph jersey I bought him.
Oh, yeah.
I think he just started wearing the Kenny Pickett one I bought him.
I got him a Mason Rudolph signed football. I did. I would say this. I did see in stadium one time, I thought, now that's pretty impressive. I did see someone at a Steelers game wearing a Sepulveda jersey.
That's awesome.
That's some dedication there.
I've never had a punter jersey, but I would have worn one. You know,
because you even have a list of your favorite Steelers all-time punters.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, gosh, like Mark Royals, Dan Straczynski.
So
I'm a big Craig Colquitt fan. You know that.
Okay. What? Watch this. This is me bringing it back. So Brian, are you ready to go get a jersey for one Marcus Golden? Because on Wednesday he did sign a 1-year deal with the Steelers, but they have not announced his jersey number yet.
Hey, there's a jersey joke later on in the show, actually.
All right. Well, we'll have to get there. But we mentioned Golden earlier that he came for a visit. The Steelers got it. That's some great depth at outside linebacker. They really needed that.
Yeah, I think this is perfect. And I have a feeling that they're not going to make the same mistake they did before with Mel Ingram. I think that Marcus Golden knows what he's coming into. He knows that not only Watt is the hugest priority, but so is Highsmith.
Did you just say hugest? I love it.
That's not a word, is it?
That was hugest. That's one of the hugest things I've ever seen. That's a good one. I like that.
Is hugest, is hugest a word?
No.
Well, I just made it.
It would be, I'm trying to think. So what would the comparative version of huge be? You know, with big, it's bigger, you know, big, bigger, biggest, huge. I don't think it's huger or huge. I say comparative would be the superlative.
Most version. Huge.
Most huge. Most huge. All right. Thursday. Steelers signed another player, wide receiver Cody Kress. I really should have wanted to know if Andrew Wilbar is here with this one. But Brian, I'm setting you up. Here's the set. Go in for the spike.
DM me if you want a Cody Kress jersey.
That's right. You want a DM, Brian, if you need a Cody Kress jersey. Whew. My goodness. This signing comes out, and what do you know? It's a player from the draft that didn't get drafted, and Andrew Wilbar knew something about him, so therefore he was going to be a lock for the roster. And I'm like, dude. He is 14th on the depth chart right now.
That's
got to be a lot of moving.
We should publish our Slack channel sometime.
We should.
I absolutely love these guys.
Yeah.
And there is a generational gap between me and, of course, Andrew and some of the younger guys. And, but I look at it and I see, okay, I see your young millennial fandom versus my Gen X angry fandom sometimes. So I'm like, no, I mean, with everybody that they have in there, I don't think Cody Crest is going to worm his way in, but you never know. That's what this whole thing's about.
Like I said before, with poker, all you need is a chip and a chair. When it comes to NFL football, all you need is a spot on the 90 and go out there and show them what you can do. So best of luck to you, Cody Crest. As long as you're in black and gold, we will cheer for you. We will.
As long as it's not Ryan Seacrest.
Oh, geez. Okay. Oh, my goodness. I was trying to work in another one there of like, oh, Crest, save us. Let's just move on. Yeah, that was terrible. Here's another one. There was a video that came out of the Jets GM, Joe Douglas, in their war room leading up to stuff, trying to show how much of a genius he was, because he was saying someone's going to trade up with New England for Jones to get ahead of us. Like, who? He's like, oh, Pittsburgh. They're like, oh, look, it happened. He's so smart. Did you watch the extended version of that video? I don't know if you did or not. But
I did not, no. I got crazy when I read all the Jets comments about, you know, how, oh, yeah, see, now all of you made fun of us. Yeah. This whole thing's lies. Lots of pants on fire in New York, New Jersey, Dave.
Well, either they edited it a different way. But my thing is, this is what I'm saying. Like, you want to brag because the Steelers traded in front of you to get Broderick Jones and you predicted it. But right before that, you predicted that both Will McDonald and Michael Mayer would be drafted before Broderick Jones at 14.
Yeah. Yeah, come on.
Really? I'll be honest with you. I don't think Will McDonald goes to the first round if the Jets don't take him at 15.
I don't think so either.
Michael Mayer didn't go in the first round. So,
yeah, look, you're bragging about it, but this is, gosh, what show was Tomlin on? Was it Rich Eisen, I believe? Yeah. And he's on the Rich Eisen show. He's talking about, hey, look, yeah, I'm not going to get in the way. We're just like the gift horses here. We'll take it. But I'm not going to get in between the Jets and the Patriots. But yeah, the Patriots did that. And look, Belichick got you again. That's all there is to it. You know, Jets fans are dumb enough to believe this. They really are. And your organization sucks. And it's going to continue to suck.
Yeah, well, my thing is, boy, you must really have to save face if you got to put something out like that.
Yeah.
That's just what I'm saying. That's
no, because crazy. They were made a mockery of for this.
Yep. So
and the best they could come up with was Will McDonald.
Yeah.
Will McDonald's a decent player, a good player. I mean, no, he could have been a late first rounder. Yeah. But no, taking him there, I think it was just a knee jerk. They just didn't know what to do.
Yeah. I don't know if it was that as much or anything. They were trying to decide what position they wanted. Did they want to go edge, tight end, or tackle? But they were already looking at these guys being gone. I'm like, if you thought Will McDonald and Michael Mayer were going to be gone before Broderick Jones, yeah, that's not something I'd want to put out there for everybody. And Will McDonald, he was projected when the one website I look at that takes all the mock drafts, even ours are behind the steel curtain. You know, Andrew Wilbar's mocks were on there. And they compile it all. And he was supposed to be an early second round pick, with some places having him projected to go to the Steelers at 32. So it's all right. Hey, if that's who they wanted, they got who they wanted, and we'll see how it all works out. Boy, won't we be looking like fools if he's the second coming of Trent Jordan-Lott. But lots got to happen with that first. Let's move on to Friday. Well, Thursday finished OTAs, but there wasn't a lot of news from OTAs. There was lots of player sound bites. We covered them at BehindTheSteelCurtain.com. Yes, that website still exists. Go check them out there. And they've been talked about on other podcasts as well. But my biggest thing from OTAs finishing up the first week of OTAs, I didn't specify that very well, is that you didn't have any of the bad news that you want to hear. So to me, I'd rather be happy that there was no bad news.
Yeah, the worst news was I think Anthony Miller tweaked the hamstring a little bit, and that was it.
Yeah.
But that's really all that really happened.
And if that's going to be your worst news, then I'll take it. So yeah. Moving on to Friday, happy birthday to former Steelers great Greg Lloyd.
Wasn't hired for his disposition, but he was hired because he was awesome.
Yep. And another one, the Pittsburgh Steelers put out a nice little story of newly re-signed Larry Ogunjobi bought his parents their dream house.
Every child's dream to buy their parents a house really is. Way to go, Larry O.
Yeah, that was great. Then there was also the report out there of one Mr. Well, I'll just call him his real name rather than any of our former nicknames for him. Mr. Le'Veon Bell, that would love to have one more chance to play in a preseason game, particularly with the Steelers, just to show that he could still do it and then retire as a member of the Steelers.
This is just a case of leaver's remorse, but I know he would love for this to happen, expect it to happen, but I'm telling you what, I'd be fascinated to watch this.
Yeah, I mean, it would be entertaining, but I don't see the Steelers doing that kind of move.
But I'm rooting for it.
But hey, while we're on the Killer Bees, one Mr. Third and Fifth, or Antonio Brown, he was supposed to be filing a contract to join the active roster of his, what is it, his arena team, something like that?
I tell you what, I would watch this game, though, if he did play. You know, I'll tell you why. We can make jokes, but it's intriguing. I'm sure he has enough to be able to rip up in the Arena League.
Yeah, that would be just some... Hey, it's called publicity, and it's called... If you are an owner, you want to get your product out there. What a better way to get your product? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But while we're on, you know, great wide receivers, or at least have been great wide receivers, Arizona Cardinals released DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah, this is not good news. This guy's probably going to make a rich AFC team even richer. You know, he could go to Kansas City, Buffalo, Baltimore. Darn you, Pittsburgh West, for doing this. Darn you to hell.
Well, they couldn't trade him. His contract was just too much. So they finally just had to say, you know what, we're done. And they didn't wait till June 1st, or they didn't designate him as that either. They're just taking on the whole cap hit and just getting it off their books as they move on to a new era there. Then we have another fun story from Friday. This is the infamous stolen SUV, but more importantly, the stolen playbook.
I think he was on the air with Filippone and Mahler at the time. And because he was doing a live show from a dealership. And look, the car doesn't matter because, you know, it's not his car anyways. it's the dealership's car. All these guys get cars, especially a guy like Kenny Pickett. Look, the perpetrator of the crime, 60-year-old guy from Murraysville, he was arrested for this. It's a humorous story, if you ask me. But the tragedy of the whole thing is he tried to sell Matt Canada's playbook on eBay, but there were no takers.
Well, let me ask you this. Bigger theft, Canada's playbook out of Pickett's SUV or Juju's bike?
I knew you were going to say Juju's bike. I would actually say, I would say this, because this was calculated. He heard the guy on the air, basically knew where he was going to be, and went and took his car.
that's something. So, all right, to finish up everything, we got a little bit here on Saturday. On Saturday, one Mr. Antonio Brown did not file his paperwork in time, so will not be playing this weekend with his Arena League or whatever team that he has.
Yeah, so it didn't happen, so I didn't get a chance to watch it. I would have missed it anyways.
Yeah, so, oh well.
I was watching professional wrestling today. Yep. There was a 1 o'clock pay-per-view.
Hey, all right, and we have one other thing to finish off this week. We've been going for a while. And this is going to say, make sure you go to this article of the Steelers Week that was by one Brian Anthony Davis that is published here Sunday, this morning, sometime later today in the morning. Because if nothing else, go to Saturday so you can watch the video of one Najee Harris throwing out the first pitch at an Oakland A's game.
This guy's a complete entertainer. I just love this guy.
Yeah.
And hey, somebody's going to love the Oakland A's while they're in Oakland, because they're going to Vegas too.
Yeah, but that looks to be that way if you follow the MLB, which, yeah, I don't. So, Brian, that was the biggest highlights of the week. It was.
Wait, Dave, let me jump in.
I missed one. Huh?
You can follow the MLB on Fans First Sports Network.
Oh, that's true. I mean, that's about the only way you're going to get me to do it now, right now. But no, I mean, I honestly do look at the scores. I do. Really do. So, yeah, we do have some really good MLB podcasts on Fans First Sports Network. But
the Buccos had 7 home runs on Friday night.
I know that. I did see that one. And that I didn't see any of the home runs, but I saw one Bob Papiani reporting on that.
Oh my gosh, they smashed some of those balls.
Yeah, one of them was. I mean, you just heard the crack. I heard that one. That was
Sawinski, I think.
No, who's the guy that just got the big contract? This is how much I don't know baseball.
Oh, yeah, Brian Reynolds.
Reynolds, yes. Because then isn't it like Key Brian Hayes? Is that another guy?
Brian Hayes, Charlie Hayes' son. Yeah.
Yeah, because I almost said. Said Cabrian Reynolds. I knew that wasn't right. So, that's combined. Yeah, we'll just throw them together. And hey, I missed it during the week, so I got to say something about some cool stuff going on with the Steelers, with Ireland. Yes, the Steelers were designated to 3 different countries with their international program, also the UK and Mexico. But the big news was that with Ireland, that they're hoping to go back and play a game there sometime. Sorry, I missed that one earlier, bad. If you did anything you wanted to say about that.
Oh, that was my fault, but I think this is great. This is a tribute to Dan Michael Rooney. No, Dan, what's his middle name? It's not Michael, is it? But Dan Rooney, Dan M. Rooney. Let's just do that. I mean, I think it's a tribute to him. The Steelers have been ambassadors to Ireland way before it was official in the Obama administration with Dan. Yeah, I think this is great. They played there in 1997, a preseason game. This would probably be a regular season game, and there's no other team to put there than the Pittsburgh Steelers, so I think it would be awesome.
Yeah, we'll see if it happens, but either way, there's all kinds of stuff going on there. Whew. And that's our week that was. Brian, anything you want to say to close out?
No, all I got to say is go Steelers. This is absolutely fantastic, and this is the week that was.
Black and gold style.
Steel Curtain Network. Get it.